Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining me right now is Anne Hertzberg. She's a legal advisor of NGO Monitor and expert in lawfare. Morning, Anne. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So I was just talking about this story of this business class passenger on United Airlines who woke up to find somebody peeing on him. I mean, can you think of anything worse? Or maybe there are things that are worse. And one of the things that are worse is that you serve in your conscripted army of a sovereign state who is currently at war with a terrorist organization. When you finish your service, you go on holiday to Brazil and are interested to find out that you are apparently a war criminal. What is this all about?
Yeah, it's absolutely outrageous. He's actually, I believe, visiting his family, which makes it even worse. So what is going on here is that, you know, as I've been talking about since the war started, our war has two components. It has military operations and information warfare and lawfare. And this is lawfare in action. It's the definition of it. So there's this Belgian NGO called Hin Rajab Foundation. It was set up a few months ago, very sketchy. The finances are not known. The two principals who are involved with the organization, whose names we are aware of, have made many posts online supporting terrorism, Hezbollah, Hamas. One of them even talked about how 10 years ago they brought around Hezbollah members to parliamentarians in Europe. And this group is supposedly claiming that they are filing thousands of cases, collecting names of all IDF soldiers and then transmitting them whenever they travel to try to get them arrested. And again, this has to be well financed. And that's really where we got to get to the bottom of this. Who's paying for this campaign? Well, and why are countries like Brazil allowing it?
I think that's the question. Rather than who's paying for it, I think why you're talking about a sovereign state. You know, if Russian soldiers or Ukrainian soldiers are traveling the world, are they arrested for war crimes?
Yeah, exactly. Because this is about harassing Israelis, about making it impossible to travel.
I'm just trying to get my head around why Israel would be different. Yeah, why would Israel be different to any other war?
Yeah, 100%.
And any other army.
But I think it 100%. And that's why I think it is important that we know who these people are, because, you know, if they are supporters of Hamas and Hezbollah, and are they getting funded by a state government we don't know about? And then why are countries like Brazil, and we've heard that similar cases have taken place in Sri Lanka and Belgium, and we've heard in the past the South African government has threatened to arrest dual citizens that come back to South Africa. So the question is, why are countries like South Africa, Brazil, trying to aid countries like Iran and Russia and China and these actors who are fomenting global chaos and then preventing the travel? And why are they and this is also a security issue, Western security issue, to combat terrorism. So with that, that's something that people have to ask their governments. Why are they trying to disrupt vital security cooperation to combat terrorism?
Just a question. How are they finding out? Like, how did they know that this guy was a soldier or had been a soldier? So, I mean, how did they even know? Not every young person, who goes to Israel, some who live in, for example, in Brazil, will go to Israel, will live on a kibbutz, will work in the fields and, you know, do an ulpan. Why? How do they know?
Unfortunately, because of social media,
yes,
a lot of the soldiers have been posting things online, and they're not doing anything wrong per se, but the mere fact that they are identifying themselves online as serving in Gaza or in Lebanon is opening them up to trouble. And so I would also say to the Israeli government, the Israeli army, why are you allowing soldiers to post things online? And soldiers need to exercise more discipline in what they're doing.
At least educate them that this is a risk if you do this. So, and this is the part that I don't understand, is that, and that this is something that I understand about combat generally, just because I find it fascinating, is that when soldiers go into combat, their phones are switched off and taken away. So how are they shooting these videos?
Well, I have heard of cases where people did not give up their phones or had a second phone.
Wow, okay.
So I'm sure that's been going on, or not everyone is giving up their phones. So, you know,
that's quite serious. I mean, that's serious because that would endanger, you know, you can trace cell phone signals. And that's why they're forced to give up their phones. So if somebody that's problematic, don't you think?
When I heard of one of my friend's kids had taken a phone in, I was yelling at him. I said, "What are you doing? You're putting yourself at risk. You're putting your people in your unit at risk."
Right.
But unfortunately, you know, it's the age we're living in now where social media is so powerful.
It's crazy.
And, you know, and these are kids. Most of them are very young and they don't realize the consequences of what they're doing.
I'm sorry, but if you're being conscripted into an army, you're given a gun, you have the power in your hands to actually take the life of somebody. I can't abide by that. They're so young and they shame they didn't know about social media. I can't.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I think again, it's an issue with the Army not enforcing discipline.
Yeah.
That they've got to do. And also, you know, for any people out there, young people, I mean, I think this just even goes beyond the Army. You have to be very careful about what you put online.
Generally,
it's not just limited to people in the Army.
Right.
You know, anything you put online can be used against you. That's just the nature of the world we're living in today.
100%. Anne Hertzberg, thank you so much. Always enjoy our conversations. Thank you. Have a wonderful week. Anne is a legal advisor at NGO Monitor. She's also an expert in lawfare.